Hey, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. It's 8 past the hour. Good morning. We're working on getting you several different guests. One to talk about the Gaza situation in Gaza. We're also working on, I want to talk about that deer at some point being shot in the face and having to be euthanized because of the infection. That's one sad picture from the Rocky Mountain News this morning. Bravo to the woman who tried to save him. That's just a story of a citizen really trying to do the right thing. And her picture, by the way, is the one published there. So we'll talk about that coming up. And we also want to talk, we're continuing to talk about Barack Obama, his selection of Rick Warren for the invocation at our historic, and I say it's our inauguration. It really is. It's the first time that people have been inaugurated, I would say, since 92, Clinton's first term, because I think there was much more hope when Clinton first came to office in 96 after the political realities and Newt Gingrich came to town. What a divisive creep he is. And he's making, now that unity is the talk of the day, he's like, we should all be together. We should all be together. Well, I remember you, Newtie, when you were the bad boy. They're saying he's the smartest man in Washington. Maybe so, but may he stay out of politics. I never, ever, ever want that man to have his hands on any kind of levers of extreme power ever again. 303-713-7600. Timothy McCarthy is a teacher who teaches at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He's an unabashed Obama enthusiast, and he served on the campaign's National Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Leadership Council. He responded to Frank Rich via email on Christmas Eve. He noted that Warren is going to speak at the inauguration or give the prayer, and then he said it's now time to move from symbol to substance. That means Warren, he says, should, quote, recant his previous statements about gays and lesbians and start acting like a Christian, close quote. And we'll talk more about what Timothy McCarthy wrote coming up. But first, I'd like to go to a caller, of course, Wiss in Denver. Thanks for joining us on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Did you say Wiss?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Thank you. I'm first, let me preface by what I'm talking about is, if you were from Denver, you know that we had a black mayor here.
Yes, Wellington Webb.
Yeah, and
I voted for him several times.
Yeah, and
in various capacities.
I was down on the points one day, and a guy came in, and his statement was, "What has Wellington Webb done for us, the black people?" Mm. And I made a statement. I said he wasn't supposed to just do something for us. You see, I'm prefacing that by this statement that everybody's getting us so upset about Rick Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Obama, in his speech, acceptance speech, he said, "For those who voted for me and also for those who didn't vote for me, I will be your president." The man is, if you have any kind of peace, you got to reach out. And whatever Rick Warren said, he has a right to speak his mind. That's freedom of speech. But to say that he shouldn't be selected to do what he's not being selected to govern nothing. The only thing he's going to do is doing the inauguration speech, and that's it.
And then Donna Brazile says, and then we all turn around and get to listen to Aretha.
And my main thing is this, and just like some of the announcers made the same, some of the radio hosts made the same thing, said, well, the gays voted for him. So what? The gays not the only one that voted for him. The whole people all throughout the United States voted for the man.
I would reckon some readers of Rick Warren's voted for him as well.
That's
you?
Right.
Yeah.
And just
that
like
makes sense.
My main point is this: the man. It seemed like, if you will notice, everybody that he appoints, oh, he shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done that. And then they turn around and want to blame him for all this mess that's going on. And the man made another statement. He said, now, you got one president at a time. So evidently, the people that's doing all this arguing and going on haven't listened to what the man said. The man said in his speech.
He did indeed. He signaled where he was headed.
That's
right.
He said he stood up there and it was so beautiful the way he shaped it.
It was.
He says, For those who voted for me and for those who did not vote for me, I will still be your president. Now, how much more clearer can you get?
Well, you know, Wiss, you make some very good sense. And even though I still disagree with the choice because I don't like Rick Warren's stand on Proposition 8, among other things, I do see the sense and the truth in what you're saying. And I, for one, even though I might not think Bob Gates is the absolute end-all and be-on-all of Defense Secretary, I think he's light years better than Donald Rumsfeld ever was. And it's really good sense, I think, in wartime to keep it. What I like is Barack Obama's calm and his level-headedness.
Ain't that the truth?
And even if I disagree with him, I trust him, Wiss, and I haven't been able to say that about a president of the United States in a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need to feel that. I think we all do, especially after watching Katrina and watching the war in Iraq and watching all the things, watching our economy tank due to unrepentant, unremitigated greed. We're thinking we need somebody who even does things that we don't like, but explains to us how we're going to get there. And that I do appreciate. And you know what else I like, Wiss?
That.
I like being challenged to wrestle with the better angels of my nature.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I just want to beat up on the right-wingers and let it go at that.
Let me say one more thing.
Yes, sir.
Everybody's talking about what Barack Obama is going to do. Mm. He's got the first. He's already starting out. He's not three strikes. He already got two strikes against him. Because what we have not did is gave him a Democratic Congress. We do not have enough in the Senate to override this, what they're doing. When they go to talking,
override a veto.
Override a veto.
Yes,
not only that, override this when they want to get out there and go to talking and going on. You know what I'm talking about. So the first thing, we got to step back and say, now, what did we do wrong? Because when people, I don't see how in the world anybody, the way the Republicans did, not only this Katrina thing and the other one, I don't know whether you remember or not, but the Republicans in years past, even when Clinton was the president, held up the budget.
Yes, they did.
For all the people. Do you remember that?
Yes, they did.
And this was the Republicans. And now how can you keep on giving a person a chance, And I'm like you. I sometimes wonder, how is it that a man can put his pants on the same way I do and be so so contradictable, and just like that song, it's sad to think that a human being could think like that, especially when you're thinking about yourself.
Yeah.
I try to compare these things to me, whereas when I make a statement or something that I did wrong, instead of blaming the other person, I try to, in that way I can compare. But hey, when these people go to doing the things they're doing, I just wonder, are you a human being? As I am, you know, but hey,
thank
that's
you,
life.
Miss.
But
thank
the
you,
thing
miss.
About it, we got to get a man a chance.
I agree with you on that, Wiss, and for that reason, I will go ahead and deal with it. I may not agree with it, and I'll speak up against things I don't believe in, but I agree with you. Going for that is, giving the man a chance is definitely the right thing to do. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thanks for taking me.
It's 303-713-7600. I really, really want to talk to you, and I'd love to. It's Christine, I believe. Welcome, and thank you for... Oh, Christy, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for filling in.
Sure. My pleasure.
I got good attention. I just kind of wanted to make a real quick point, and I am a gay individual down in Colorado Springs, of all places, raising two children. But it's really good. It's actually quite successful. But I have no problem with Rick Warren disagreeing with marriage, and I do favor disagreements and discussions. Big supporter of Obama, even now. Huge supporter of Obama. But I just have issues with the whole comparison of gays to pedophiles, because if you look statistically, of course, it's all over the Internet. The majority of pedophiles are heterosexual men, period. There's really no discussion. And, you know, I think of putting someone on stage who would say all black people are criminal or all Jewish people are thieves, and, you know, none of us would ever stereotype, and that would never be. So I do question the choice if he does not recant that comparison to pedophiles, which are criminals. And
yeah, pedophiles and bestiality proponents. Yeah, I find that repulsive.
But if he would put, you know, and someone suggested this in jest, but I think it's a great idea, put Ellen on stage with her wife while Rick Warren gives the invitation. You know, will he still go through with the invocation when the gay community, successful couples in the gay community are represented?
Thank you so much. And they're gonna, and their marriage will allegedly be annulled by Prop 8 unless it's resolved.
I actually, we're one of the couples that flew out from Denver and got married specifically for that reason. So I'm right with them.
All right. Well, thank
you so much.
I hope long may your marriage last, and I believe in it, if that helps.
Amen. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you. 18 past the hour. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin, and we have Frank Rich tomorrow. Woohoo! Thank you so much, John, for working that for us. Frank Rich of the New York Times, who I had the privilege of meeting recently, will be our guest tomorrow. So thank you all, and we'll be right back with more of your phone calls coming up on the Jay Marvin Show. It's 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in. Hi, this is Aaron Hart, and this is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. Once again, we hope to have Frank Rich tomorrow. We know the window of time he's available. We're seeing if we can work that out, and we're real excited about it. I am, anyway. I love Frank Rich. I've been reading him for years and had the opportunity to meet him briefly at a book signing up here in the Pacific Maritimes recently. And his book, The Greatest Story Ever Sold, is really a cautionary tale about the Bush administration and how they got into power by the extreme distortion. If you have not read his book, you really should. It's very well done. And his book on the theater, Ghostlight, is a fun one, too. I'm just delving into both of them. Now, Damien in Colorado Springs, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Thanks for calling back. Welcome to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
Almost there, almost there. Really quick question.
Yes.
Talking about reality-based expectations of Obama's presidency, what do you think that he can realistically accomplish in his first term? And do you think it will be enough to get him reelected and keep the Democrats in power?
Wow, you don't want much. It's different because I would have said something different even 2 months ago, but since September, the cascading bad news in terms of the economy has really altered the landscape, hasn't it?
Definitely.
And my brain's still trying to catch up daily with all the changes that we need to make. So I can't imagine what his is like. If I were him, I'd be working out every day in the gym, too. And I'm glad he's recreating, you know. I'm really glad he went to Hawaii, his normal stomping grounds in the holidays, because you need to relax and get some distance. But if you ask me what probably he's thinking about when he walks up and down the beach, I would imagine he's thinking first and foremost about how to get the economy in recovery, because that's the first thing on everybody's mind, and that's a bread and butter issue that's affecting all of us across the board on various ways. I think it'll be the economy. It'll be how to restructure it to a certain extent, how to get some jobs. And there's a bit of tension between green job advocates and public works advocates. I think we need a mixture of both. The practical matter, though, the fact that gasoline has dropped by so much. I mean, the other day my eyes did the John Stewart pot up out of my head, the cartoon, boing! You know, because it was like, what? It's $1.85 here? I almost ran off the road. But I think because of the fact, and I hate to say this because I'm a green and energy advocate, truly. I think one of the things is that they have to do is concentrate on getting it set up to create jobs. And I think, which is a long wind of saying, I think infrastructure will mean more than green jobs, although I hope infrastructure incorporates green technology when it's working. And I think we need a grid from sea to shining sea so that we can have wind energy. So I'm hoping he pitches that as the new interstate highway system. At the same time, I think they have to move on healthcare, because big business, the dirty little secret that they don't tell you about is big business needs it as much as everybody else. The insurance companies are foundering. They're in a big mess, and they are trying to go IT, but they could use some help too. So if we get a revolution in healthcare, that would be big news. I don't know whether we'll have a grand scale revolution or whether it'll be more moderate in its circumstance. But I would say those are two very big priorities, plus devoting the money that we're now throwing down the rat hole of Iraq somewhere else. Not to say that Iraq in itself is a country is a rat hole, but in the stupid, ridiculous, illicit, illegal war that Bush got us into that has done nothing to make us more safe. You know, I'm going to go off on a tangent, but I won't. But remind me to go off on a tangent about how dare they suggest for single men, well, we haven't been attacked. terrorist attacks are up by, what, 90% worldwide? I'm sure the rest of the world says, yeah, thanks a lot for helping out with that, dudes.
Because of the two oceans.
Yeah, well, that's mostly what protected us for years. And I don't think anybody believes that taking your shoes off at the airport is really protecting us. Thank you very much. So I just think, but if you ask me, I think healthcare jobs and revamping the economy and setting in a system of common sense laws and protections, which will only work for a while, probably until man figures out a way to scheme a way around it. And by man, I mean generic human, a way to scheme its way around it. But a new set of rules akin to nothing that we've seen since the Depression era reformations that came when Frank D. Roosevelt was in charge, which means we need a serious, deep, and profound revamping of the regulations of the industries. The age of deregulation, the era of trickle-down economics, is over. So we have to see what will replace it. And I hope he also, at the same time, I know this is a big laundry list, but I hope he also takes a whack at neutering the military-industrial complex and the iron grip it holds on our military. Because right now, by outsourcing everything at $500 to $1,000 an hour or a day to people like Kellogg Brown and Root and KBR and Blackwater, for example, we have pretty much sold the U.S. military down the river into the slavery of having high-priced, spendy, who, by the way, are enslaving a lot of third country nationals, too, in country in Iraq. So we need some deep and profound. And I think that's one reason why he's kept Bob Gates in there, because Bob Gates has proven he won't hesitate to fire somebody for malfeasance if he wants to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think it'll be a combination of reformation, restoration, and rejuvenation. And I think he's also going to try to enlist the American people to help on some kind of grassroots level. I don't think he's got me and 13 million other people on a mailing list for no good reason. I don't think it's only to raise money for politics, in other words.
Right. Yeah, and I think I'd agree. I think all he has to do is really show that the economy is getting back on track. I don't think we're going to expect the Dow to be back at 15,000, you know, in the next 2 years or so.
No, but this is a wonderful opportunity to teach people to say how to save and how to invest and how to make more use out of your money and how to get mortgage the mortgages that actually mean something, not that are sold by mortgage-backed securities ad infinitum until they're worth less than the Ethernet they're written on, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, and the other thing that he's got going for him, which is no mean talent, is he has the everyday ability, to, as Mark Twain said, to explain complicated subjects to eight-year-olds.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I hope he holds a series of YouTube fireside chats, you know, and helps educate the country so that we come along with him. And asks us, appeals to the better angels of our nature so that we work harder to make our country better. Because I think people have been, I think people are like Carolyn Kennedy, that since 9/11, they've been looking for better ways to serve. And Barack Obama is the symbol of the hope that we have for our country in the wake of that despairing attack.
Well, nicely put.
Thank you. Thanks for your call.
No problem. Have
I appreciate
one.
It. Yep, you too. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And John, I've done the unthinkable. What I've done is I've moved the piece of paper that I had my calls written on. And, oh, There it is, Ron in Littleton. I'm going to get to you in just a minute. And also, John, my clock is off because my computer just crashed again. So I assume I'm close to the bottom of the hour.
You are doing just fine, Aaron.
All right, goody. I just looked at my analog watch and went, oh, yeah, it's close to the bottom of the hour, but my clock's a little fast. So if you want to go to traffic, yay, and if you want to wait a couple of minutes, I can do that.
I'm ready to do traffic for you, Aaron.
Well, groovy, dude. Then let's high us to traffic, shall we? Hi, this is Aaron Hart on Colorado's Progressive Talk, AM 760. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I'm filling in for Jay all this week and would love to talk to you. And that would be at 303-703-7600. We've been talking about Rick Warren being set to give the invocation at Barack Obama's inauguration, which can't come fast enough. Timothy Egan, a writer from up in these here parts in the Pacific Maritimes, has a wonderful op-ed guest column. He writes outposts for the Times. But he has a really good one about the apologia tour by the Bush-Cheney team, the nasty twins, you know, dumb and dumber, whatever you want to call them, in an evil kind of way, because I don't think either man is particularly dumb necessarily. I do think, however, they might be Dr. Evil in disguise. And sorry about that, Ozzy, but I really think they're the true Dr. Evil. Now, here's the thing. Maybe he thinks of himself as a dark prince. Anyway, pre-blame game. Last year, Icy Days can't come fast enough. These guys are, the Iraq War. Oh, well, the bad intelligence. Every time Bush says that, I want to scream, I knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Me, Jane Q talk show host from Seattle, I knew before the war that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Don't you dare perpetrate that fraud anymore. Ron in Littleton, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. He can't go back to Crawford where he's been for 485 days out of his presidency fast enough for me. Well, actually, he's going to Dallas, thanks to Laura. Hi, Ron. Welcome.
Hey, I hope you had a happy holiday.
You know, I did. I had 8 days and nights that were absolutely wonderful, except for the horrible snow.
I hope you didn't eat yourself to death.
You know, eat myself to death?
I mean, cookies and candy and,
you know,
and
thing
ham
is,
and standing rib roast and things like that.
Well, you know what, Ron? I don't actually... this is going to sound weird. I don't like sweets all that well. I eat them occasionally and in moderation, but my big problem is with things like double cheese baked potatoes and steak and
stuff like that. Yes,
yes. But I did not. I haven't eaten that much. I don't know. Maybe it was having to walk through 3 feet of snow every day. I didn't put on any poundage this holiday season. Thank goodness.
I want to bring up this thing about what's happening in Israel with the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? You know, I, in a lot of ways, without starting arguments, in a lot of ways support Israel. But isn't it funny that with this attack of Hamas, you know, rocketing into Israel and Israel's, you know, sledgehammer retaliation, that the Palestinians on the West Bank are the Fatahs saying, hey, baby, you're on your own.
Well, there's been a deep-seated schism against them for years, and I think one of the biggest mistakes that the Bush administration went, hold elections, have elections, democracy now, but he forgot that having elections doesn't always mean democracy now. Sometimes elections mean Hamas, and Hamas, which gained huge favor in Gaza. You see, people forget, they don't run around going, hi, we want to blow up everybody, we like terrorism. They went and gave people food and charity and an education that was certainly skewered and certainly evil in many ways, but they at least paid attention to them, and Fatah had become so overblown and so corrupt under Yasser Arafat that they missed several opportunities to help out their people. And in case of Arafat, he flat out stole from them quite a bit.
Well,
so,
I heard his widow's living like a queen in Paris.
Probably true. So here's the reality. It is very complicated. And every time you pick up one Jerusalem stone, you find 900 other good arguments for everybody's side. So the reality is, here's what I worry about. I know the Israelis are retaliating for Katyusha rockets being fired into southern Israel, which, believe you me, I have heard people from that region speaking out and about, and it sounds it sounds horrifying to have rockets cascading down near your head 24/7, you know? And there was a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel, but now that Israel is on the throes of an election, you have Benjamin Netanyahu, who's very, very right-wing, and then you have Tzipi Livni, who is not as right-wing, but with a newly formed Kabul together in the wake of Ariel Sharon's illness, devastating long-term incapacitating illness. You see her trying to also, it's like they're all trying to outdo each other on the right. And so the problem is the Katyusha rockets, which are terrible and awful, don't
call them Stalin's organ pipes in World War II.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily kill people every day. And I'm not advocating killing on anybody's side, okay? The problem is that the pictures coming out of Gaza create a lot of sympathy for the Palestinian side and a lot of rage in Arabic countries, which have been, you know, slowly but surely there's been movement on the side. You know, the Saudis let the Prime Minister of Israel speak at their recent confab. There have been little bit, and Arab states really want Hamas to be weakened because they don't want Iran running everything. Most of them are Sunni, and they don't want, you know, the Shiite-backed Hamas to succeed in a lot of ways, okay?
Yeah.
So they're, in a way, Israel's doing by proxy what they perhaps would not mind doing. The problem is that the pictures are hard to take.
Yeah.
You watch little kids running, and you watch bodies coming out, and they're little tiny body bags, and, you know, your heart just goes out, and my heart does go out to the Palestinians. I had a guy from Gaza who now works, I believe, still, I'm not sure, but he used to live up here, and now he works in I think it's Qatar, for Al Jazeera, and he was trying to speak civilly about the situation, but he had grown up in Gaza, and he started to scream in the middle of the interview that the Israelis came to his house and broke down his doors, and that he'll never be able to get over the hate. And when you see that kind of trauma that was actually born in a child of 8 or 9, you know,
yeah,
you despair for both the kids who are growing up in southern Israel and the kids who are growing up in Gaza, whether they can ever overcome the kind of fear and loathing that is engendered when people don't handle their differences. Now, what I do see as hopeful is, and there's an Egyptian paper coming out today, according to Haaretz, that says, a more moderate, liberal paper in Israel, that says Hamas leaders, an Egyptian paper is actually accusing Hamas leaders as being partially responsible for Gaza. Because,
yeah,
see, the Israelis have tried to give the Gaza government every single chance. They've even said that if Hamas will just recognize them, they'll deal with them, even though they regard them as terrorists.
Have you seen the thing from Egypt too, that the Gaza Egyptian border is sealed off and they won't let anybody in?
Interesting.
And a lot,
yeah,
of Arab,
or
a lot of Arab countries are saying, "Hey, baby, it's your thing." And the thing that always gets me about the thing about Arab unity was the Arab-Israeli wars, you know, back in the '60s and '70s. All the Arabs are willing to fight Israel to the last Egyptian, and Sadat said, "To hell with that."
Yeah. Well, Sadat still stands a member as being one of the better leaders. It's like, you know, he at least Israel will make peace. They will make peace. They have proven it with Jordan, with Egypt, and they're now making noises with. They've even had back channels open to the Syrians.
Yeah.
And
you know what the funny thing is too about that? Is that, you know, Israel is one of the leading technological industrial nations as far as medical equipment and stuff.
Yes.
And isn't it amazing that a lot of this advanced is, ultra scans, x-ray machines, all this real ultra-modern stuff, you know, that's made in Israel, is showing up in places like Riyadh, Damascus, Cairo.
Well,
yet something's going on under the table.
Something is going on under
open.
The table. Yeah, I think a lot of the government, but what they're trying to do is with some of the anger in the street, and that's part of the problem, you know. Well, I'm dismayed that this is happening. I'm not sure what we can do about it. I'm glad that Barack Obama is going to be taking the reins, but this is the problem of the Bush, Condi Rice abomination of, you know, she's running around saying people will understand eventually how good George Bush is. No, I think we'll actually deserve how much worse he was than we ever really truly imagined once the full truth of this administration comes out.
Also, did you say that the Bush and the Cheney are going to make a tour?
They are making a tour. They're doing the Apologia tour. They're both appearing on every single show they can.
I hope they're not going pheasant hunting because Cheney will kill somebody.
Yeah, pheasant hunting where you get the kill. They're easy domesticated birds so that you can shoot them easier. He shot like 50 or 60 of them.
Or you might get shot by Cheney.
Yeah, that isn't shooting. And was he anywhere in Elbert County, by the way? Did he shoot that 2-year-old female deer? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
I can't stand them.
I just wanted to bring up the thing about the Arabs, and it's not, and what gets me is another fact is that during Christmas, did you see the articles of how well the Israeli security and the West Bank Palestinian security worked real smooth and together in cooperation with all the pilgrims in Jerusalem and then Bethlehem?
Yeah, they don't like the new. And Bethlehem had more tourists than ever before. Hamas got. That's one reason why Hamas broke the peace treaty. They're making one last desperate attempt to try and ruin any prospect of peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Well, have a good week,
it's really
Aaron.
Sad. Thank you. It's 7:47 on that happy note. We'll move on and go to traffic, but we'll be right back with more of your phone calls at 303-713-7600. We'll work on getting some guests, both from here and from there, to try to talk to that very complicated situation coming up as well. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin. We'll be right back with more of your talk coming up. And stand by now for my friend John Turk, who's already with Colorado's Progressive Traffic. Hi, John. Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in for Jay Marvin on Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. Next hour, we'll talk about, and this show this week, we'll talk about the pre-blame game. Timothy Egan, great column today. And we're also going to talk about a man who shot a talker at the movies. Now, I know I hate it too, but we usually go lighter in the last hour. You know what? I hate people who talk at movies a lot. But I don't think I'd shoot them. The other thing is, that deer, the face of that deer in the Rocky Mountain News has been haunting me since this morning, and John showed it to me. I'd read about the deer. Seeing its little face with the arrow through it just brought to mind Dick Cheney and all sorts of visions of nasty people who don't know how to wield guns. And actually, come to think of it, the man with the shooter shooting the talker at a movie ties into that. By the way, just real quick note, Amy Klobuchar, Democrat, says it might be possible to seat Al Franken as the next senator from Minnesota, even though legal challenges from Norm Coleman will still abound. He's now winning the Senate seat by 46 votes. We'll see what happens with that. But that'll give us one more vote, Wiss, in the U.S. Senate. Ray in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I am well.
Well, we're all that way. Well, but poor Barack Obama. I think they should give him a chance. I don't think anyone going in there, no matter who it is, could do any better than he could. Because it isn't all right at all.
Oh, no. It's like the Bush-Cheney administration vivisect the Constitution, torture, lead to terrible losses around the world, I think, in terms of our prestige and our efficacy, our ability to enact efficacious foreign policy. They've been awful. I mean, it's like, hi, we destroyed your country. Here are the ashes. Have a good time. Bye-bye. We ruined the economy, too, by the way, on our way out. See ya.
It's an abomination. It really is what's been done to our nation.
Yes, it is an abomination. And I think the nation under Obama, unlike a lot of right-wingers who try to use the word abomination as some sort of play on words to indicate we're all in the soup, it's just not true. It just really isn't. And I believe that we...
All?
I think he's very sensible. I think he's very smart.
Yes, he is.
And I think sensible is not a word I would use with either Dick Cheney or George Bush. I don't think he's power mad or power hungry. The other thing I like about him, even though he's offended me on a couple of choices, not many, but a couple, and you know, I don't like Rick Warren much, but as Wiss said, he's only given the prayer, he's not going to govern. I think he's sensible and he's calm. And he's smart. And I don't think he's power mad. Do I think he's a little arrogant sometimes? Sure. I think a lot of people are, but me included. But I don't think he's power hungry. I don't think he does it from a deficit of ego. I think he does it from a healthy ego.
I kept track of him in Chicago, and he really took care of the people there. I think he has more experience than we realize. They said Kennedy didn't have an experience either. Remember?
Yes. Kennedy picked a pretty amazing team, though, many of whom led us astray in Vietnam. But we'll hope for better than that. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. I actually think Obama has the potential to be a better president than Jack Kennedy was. I really do, from what I understand from reading about it. 303-713-7600. But we'll see. We'll see. It's all unclear at this point. Now, the only thing that I wish Obama would do, really, seriously, and obey me and all, I don't expect him to obey me in all things, but do quit smoking, dude. Hanging on the gate, keeping chewing nicotine gum, and occasionally succumbing to smoking is not cutting it. And I don't care if Bill Clinton had a stogie in his mouth. By the way, Barack Obama, somebody did get him today with his ball cap on backwards. You know what? I got to say, you know, don't smoke. Stop it. Cut it out. I agree with Tom Brokaw. You have not stopped if you keep falling off the wagon. So, and I hope he becomes an example. But it's really hard. I know from experience. And you know what? I would smoke an occasional cigar if I thought I wouldn't immediately go and smoke cigarettes. But I know me. I would immediately. It's like spit smoking, no way. Besides, it makes you crabby to go on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. Ugh. Now, if you want to keep using nicotine gum, fine by me. I use the patch, this friend of mine said. I know you. You have to use the patch until you're done. All right, I got to get out of here. I'm overdue to get out, so I'm going to get out. All right, do I have to get out now, John? I forgot my out time. I'm sorry. Oh, I got a minute. Okay, good. So here's the thing. We'll look forward to the next hour. We'll talk about that deer in the face, shot in the face. We'll talk about a man who shot somebody at the movies, shot them. They wouldn't shut up. He threw popcorn at the son, and then he shot the father after an argument. Shot him. Now, I don't like people who rattle their popcorn. I don't like people who rattle their you know, but invariably I'll take in sunflower seeds or something and crack, and people will look at me and go, shut up. So we all tend to annoy each other. But the reality is that the curious case of Benjamin Button in Philadelphia, somebody got shot for talking during a movie. Is that a little too overboard and too serious? I think so. Let's talk about it coming up. 303-713-7600.